الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا إني بما تعملون عليم. صدق الله العظيم. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما يرويه عن ربه عز وجل: أنا ثالث الشريكين، ما لم يخن أحدهما صاحبه فإذا خان خرجت من بينهما، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected ulama ikram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran: لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. That Allah has made ihsan upon you. Allah has favored you. Allah has showered you with a special bounty. To appreciate the veracity of this verse, we have to consider that everything we have is from Allah. This universe is from Allah. Our existence is from Allah. Now out of all this, Allah does not say, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ. Allah blessed you by giving you life, by creating this world for you, by feeding you, by sustaining you, by giving you air to breathe, etc., etc. What does Allah say? Of all these ni'mats and bounties, Allah mentions one special ni'mat. And what is that special ni'mat? إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. That I send Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to you. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam is singled out as that unique and special ni'mat and bounty which Allah has blessed this ummah with. And referring to his Nabi, Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That what is the purpose, what is the object, why was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent amongst you? Why were you able to have in front of you every aspect, minute detail of the life of my Nabi? Why did Allah preserve it for you? Why was it brought in front of you? One basic objective: that Allah wants each and every one of us to mold ourselves on the example of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Allah says, for you in the Rasul of Allah is the most perfect example. You want to know which is that dressing which I love? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which appearance I love? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which salah I love? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which zakat I love? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which sadaqah and charity I love? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which Quran I love? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which zikrullah I love? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which ibadat I love? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this much we understand: make salah, give zakat, give sadaqah, give charity, read Quran, make zikrullah, etc. Like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you want jannat, this is the only way which Allah will prefer and accept. This much, to a very large extent, the ummah still understands today. What is the problem, my respected brothers, is we tend to stop there. What about the business of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What about the nikah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What about the financial interaction of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What about the social interaction of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How was he as a businessman? How was he as a husband? How was he as a father? How was he as a neighbor? This is also deen. Like Allah wants you to follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your salah and your zakat and your tilawat and your dhikrullah, in exactly the same way Allah wants you to follow him outside the masjid also. We have given you the most perfect example. Business is the business of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Financial interaction is that of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Conduct with your fellow human being is that of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like through salah, and like through zakat, and like through ibadat, and like through zikrullah, and like through tilawat of Quran, Allah says we will give you jannat in exactly the same way, my respected brothers, by doing the business of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and conducting yourself financially and socially like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That also is a zariya and a means of your jannat. Unfortunately, today we have become an ummah. Like I said, we understand ibadat, follow Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But business, follow somebody else. Walk into a Muslim business, music is blaring. Walk into a Muslim business, if you look at the staff, the female staff, dressed in such a way, nothing left to the imagination. In every aspect of our life away from the masjid, outwardly the person has a kurta. Outwardly he has a beard. Outwardly he even appears in the dressing of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this mentality and this understanding that this has to transcend into my social life, into my financial life, into my daily life away from the masjid, this understanding to a very large extent has come out of the ummah. Like Allah is making salah means of earning jannat, wallah, my respected brothers, do your business correctly. Earn halal, conduct yourself correctly. Allah will give you a bigger jannah through that. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He says, "At-tajiru as-saduqul amin." At-tajiru as-saduqul amin. He said, a businessman who in his conduct, in his financial interaction, two things are found: saduq and amin. Sachai, sachai, saduq. He's truthful. He doesn't lie. Allah forgive me, forgive us all, my respected brothers. Just one day in your shop or in your job or in a financial environment, just make up your mind one day in the morning that, listen, today I'm not going to speak one lie. And see how difficult it is. Because speaking lies, deception has become a way of life with us. We see nothing wrong in that. Like I said, outwardly the person will appear to be dindar, following sunnah. My Nabi said, be a businessman, but be a businessman with two qualities. As-saduq, do not lie. Do not deceive. When you open your mouth, speak the truth. And second quality, he said, amin, amanat-dar. Amanat-dar, amanat-dar. What does this mean? Trustworthy. I'll make it even simpler. What does it mean? It means there must be some weight to your zaban. When you make a promise, honor that promise. When you enter into a commitment, honor that commitment. Today we look how many problems there are. Brother is fighting brother in court. Cousin is fighting cousin in court. Disputes, every direction you turn there are disputes because our mizaj is not amanadari. Our mizaj and temperament is not transparency. Our temperament is business is to conceal. Is for there to be ambiguity. The longest verse in the Quran, the longest verse in the Quran is in Surah Baqarah. Now understand this, Quran, approximately 6,666 ayats and verses in the Quran. In the Quran, Allah speaks about Jannat, Allah speaks about Jahannam, Allah speaks about His Ibadat, Allah speaks of the incidents of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. But all these things put aside, the longest verse in the Quran is about what? We would expect it to be about ibadat. We would expect it to be about jannat and jahannam. But the longest verse of the Quran in Surah Baqarah is about business. Is about financial interaction. The first Jummah, impossible in this 20 or 30 minutes to even translate that verse. It's the longest verse in the Quran. But just the first glimpse of that verse, what does Allah say? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Already the kuffar are excluded. Allah is addressing the Muslim. Allah is addressing the follower of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah is addressing the one who labels himself, I am Ashik Rasul. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Let me translate it differently. O jamaat of ushaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O those who claim to be followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is your Allah saying to you? Idha tadayantum bidaynin ila ajalin musamman faktubu wal yaktub bainakum katibun bil adl. What does this mean? Allah is saying to you, you claim to follow my Nabi, you have brought Iman upon him. So what am I telling you? That when you do business, write down the transaction. Let there be a record. And not only that, let there be witnesses to that. Wallah, I'm sitting on the minbar of the masjid. I'm sitting on the minbar of the masjid and I'm saying this as a dawah and a challenge. Wallah, by the qasam of my Allah. By the qasam of my Allah, if we just practiced on this only, 99% of the disputes will come to an end. When you enter into a transaction, let there be no ambiguity. Let there be no confusion. Let it be according to Sharia. Let it be recorded. This is ibadat. This is ibadat, this is amanatdari. And my Nabi, what did he say? He said, do two things when you do business. One, be truthful, do not lie. Have amanatdari and trustworthiness in you. And what will happen? What will happen? One is a tahajjud guzar, one is a shabedar, one is a rozedar. Somebody is fasting every day, making tahajjud salah every night. For him, my Nabi didn't say this. My Nabi said this to a businessman, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, be truthful and amanatdar. And what will Allah give you? Ma'an nabiyyin, was-siddiqin, was-tajiru saduqul amin, ma'an nabiyyin, was-siddiqin, was-shuhada. Allah will raise you on the day of judgment with the anbiya. Allah will raise you with the anbiya. The tahajjud guzar is not told this. Person who makes khatam of the Quran every day is not told this. The businessman is told this. We will raise you with the anbiya. We will raise you with the siddiqeen. We will raise you with the shuhada. They say there's an anomaly. Common expression, what they say, a partnership never sails. A partnership never sails. Don't enter into partnership. Islam does not dissuade you or discourage you from partnership. Why is partnership a problem today? Because we are not Muslim businessmen. Yet, through partnership, what does Allah say? The hadith which I mentioned in the beginning, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is the narrator. He says, My Nabi said that Allah says, what? Ana thalithu sharikain. When two Muslims enter into a partnership, Allah says, I am the third partner. I am the third partner in your business with you. As long as what? As long as when ma lan yakhun ahaduhuma sahibahu. Till when am I your partner? Till the day one of you makes khianat. Till the day one of you usurps the rights of the other. Till the day one of you does the other one down. Faida khana. The day you make khianat, Allah says, kharajtu min bainihima. I am no longer part of this partnership. I come out of this partnership. My respected brothers, the point, this, what we have to understand is like salah is an ibadat, like zakat is an ibadat, like tilawat of Quran is an ibadat, by the qasam of my Allah, to conduct yourself correctly in the marketplace is an ibadat. It is also the worship of Allah. It is also piety. And your master in the masjid is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your master in the marketplace is also Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This much take upon yourself. This much take upon yourself. In business, speak the truth. Do not be ambiguous. Be transparent. Let there be witnesses. Do not deceive. Do not deceive. Do not incur unnecessary debt. When Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is commanded by Allah to teach us how to do business, whose example does Allah give? Whose example does Allah give? Allah gives the example of Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam. Follow the Anbiya. Follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in doing business. The verse of the Quran I recited in the beginning. Ya ayyuhar rasul, kulu min at-tayyibat wa'malu saliha. Allah commands his Nabi, O my Nabi, eat the pure and do good deeds. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah commanded my ummah like he commanded Anbiya alayhimus salam that let your earnings be halal, let your earnings be halal. Thumma dhakar al-rajul, can't call kar sunnah bhai. Listen with the ears of iman, listen with the heart of iman. My Nabi, after mentioning this, that Allah commanded my ummah to do business like anbiya, let it be pure, let it be halal, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives an analogy. Thumma dhakar al-rajul, he mentions a person, yutilu safar, this person went on a long journey. Why does Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say this? Why mention he went on a long journey? Because a musafir's du'as are accepted. A person in mashakkat and hardship, his du'as are accepted. So one sabab of qabuliyat of du'a, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, yutilu safar, this person went on a long journey. Ash'atha aghbar. Then what does my Nabi say? He says his hair is disheveled. His body is full of dust. Why mention this? Again, to show that the hayat and manner of this person is such that his du'as will be accepted. A person in mashakkat, in difficulty, his hair is disheveled, his body is full of dust, he is faqir, he is poor, he is in hardship, he is in difficulty, he is in safar. Sabab, means of acceptance of du'a. Thumma yamuddu yadahu ila sama. Then in this condition, my Nabi says, this person raises his hands to the heavens. What should have happened? The door to Allah's arsh should have opened. This is a mazloom person. This is a person in mashakkat. He's a person in hardship. He raises his hands to the heavens. Whatever he asked should have been accepted. But, what is the problem? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, mat'amuhu haram. Mat'amuhu haram. Mashrabuhu haram. Malbasuhu haram. Ghudhiya bil haram. His earnings are haram. His dressing is from haram. His eating is haram. His livelihood is haram. Every sabab and means of the acceptance of dua is there. But because his earnings are haram, what does Rasulullah SAW say? فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِهِدِهَذَا Allahu Akbar. Pity we don't understand Arabic. My Nabi does not say Allah doesn't accept his dua. What does he say? Anna yustajabu lihada. How is it ever going to be possible for Allah to accept his dua? How is it ever going to be possible for Allah to accept his dua if his earnings are haram? If his financial interaction is not correct? Yusuf bin Asbat, rahmatullah alayhi, used to say that if a youngster becomes ibadat guzar, exerts himself in the worship of Allah, shaitan says to his chelas, to his companions, that go and establish the source of his income. Go and establish the source of his income. And if you find that his income is haram, then don't tire, let him tire yourself in ibadat. Let him tire himself in ibadat. Let him tire himself in ibadat. Don't worry about him. Let him carry on with his ibadat if his earnings are haram. Why? Because his earnings being haram will be a cause of his ibadat never being accepted by Allah. Yati ala nasi zamanun. Yati ala nasi zamanun. La yubali al maru ma akhada. Amin al halal. Amin al haram. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, A time will come upon my ummah. They will not care where the money is coming from. Where the livelihood is coming from, where the earnings are coming from, whether there was some deception, whether there was some treachery, whether somebody was done down, whether documents were falsified, they will not care. They will not care where it is coming from, whether it is halal or haram, will be of no concern to them. He said, such a time will come upon my ummah. And what did my Nabi say? He said, that ummati of mine who does not care whether his earnings are halal or haram, Allah will not care through which door of Jahannam he enters. That ummati of mine who does not care whether his earnings are halal or haram, Allah will not care which door of Jahannam he enters through. On one occasion he asked his sahaba, Hal tadruna manil muflis? He said, oh my sahaba, do you know who is the bankrupt person? Who is the bankrupt person? What is the natural response of sahaba? This is not an academic question, it's a simple question. Who is bankrupt? Somebody who doesn't have money. His bank balance is empty. So what did they respond? They said, مَلَّا دِرْهَمَ لَهُ وَلَا مَتَعَ. Ya Rasulullah, someone who doesn't have any dirhams, any coins, any wealth, no possessions, he's a bankrupt person. Allahu Akbar, what does my Nabi say? The one who doesn't have a cloak, doesn't have a kurta or a shirt on his back, doesn't have a pillow under his head, doesn't have a roof above his head, he is not the bankrupt person. إِنَّ الْمُفْلِسَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي إِنَّ الْمُفْلِسَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. He said, the bankrupt man of my ummah is who? مَنْ يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِصَلَاةٍ وَصِيَامٍ وَزَكَاةٍ. Is a person who will present himself in Allah's court on the Day of Judgment with a long dastan and list and legacy of salah, of tahajjud, of nawafil, of awabid, of ishraq, with siyam, with fasting, with zakat, with charity, with sadaqah, generous person, well-known person, pious person. He'll have a list of amal, of good deeds. He is the bankrupt person of my ummah. Why? He'll present himself with all this on the Day of Judgment. وَإِنَّهُ قَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا وَضَرَبَ هَذَا وَقَذَفَ هَذَا وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا. But, like a bucket with a hole in the bottom, you can keep pouring water. Keep pouring water. Pour water from now till Qiyamah in a bucket with a hole. What will happen? That bucket will not sustain that water. The water will flow away. One hand is the ibadah. The other hand is what? Swearing someone. Cursing someone. Spreading malicious rumors about someone. Hurting the feelings of someone. Eating up the haq and the wealth of someone. Akala mala hada, ate up this one's haq. His sister's inheritance, he deprived them, falsified the documents. Wanted some property, falsified the documents, lied, entered into a partnership, deceived someone, did someone down. A list, dastan of this. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala is the narrator of the hadith. He says a person will come before Allah on the Day of Judgment. And he will say to Allah, Ya Allah, this person took my haq. This person took my haq, he ate up my haq. Allah will send for that person. And then Allah Ta'ala will say to him, that pay back the haq. Pay back the haq. Repay what you took from your brother. He will say, Ya Allah, where is it? I left it behind in the dunya. I left it behind in the dunya. Allah will say to him, no, we have brought it here, but where is it? Jahannam has 7 layers. Jahannam has 7 layers. Hawiya, in it is the munafiqeen. Jahim, in it is the mushrikeen. Ladha, in it is the sabi'een. Hutama, in it is the majusi. Ladha, in it is the yahudi. Sa'id, in it is the nasara, Christians. 7 layers, the topmost layer, Jahannam. The layer, the name of the topmost layer, least azab is Jahannam. Khutama, Sa'ir, Ladha, Jahim. Finally, the top layer, Jahannam. As you go lower, the azab, the intensity increases. Innal munafiqeen fi ddarkil asfali minan nar. Allah says the munafiqeen will be in the lowest layer of Jahannam. The munafiqeen will be in the lowest layer of Jahannam, where Abu Jahl won't go, the munafiqeen will go. What will Allah say to this Muslim who had eaten up the haq of his brother, that the haq that you took, that land or that property or whatever it was, it is in Hawiya. It is in Hawiya, in the lowest layer of Jahannam. Go and fetch it. This Muslim will have to enter Jahannam, Allah protect us. And he will have to go right down to the bottom of Jahannam. Tirmizi Sharif riwayat, one day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting with Sahaba. All of a sudden a thunderous explosion is heard. A thunderous explosion is heard. Sahaba alarmed. Sahaba alarmed. Ya Rasulullah, what has happened? What has happened? What is that explosion? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a rock was dropped into Jahannam 70 years ago. Today it has reached the bottom of Jahannam. A rock was dropped into Jahannam 70 years ago. Today it has reached the bottom of Jahannam. That is the thunderous explosion that you heard. This haq of his brother that he ate up will be in Hawiya, in the bottom of Jahannam. He will have to pass each layer, each layer, each layer, till he reaches this haq. Then he will pick it up and start climbing up. Start climbing up. There are no words that can describe the difficulty and the hardship of this. Till he reaches right till the top, right till the top. Then the angel will push him. And that haq will drop back to the bottom. And he will have to go back to fetch it. And this will carry on for as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. This is the extent, my respected brothers, this is the extent of emphasis that our Sharia has placed on the fulfillment of the haq of others. Keep your akhirat in front. My Nabi said, the bankrupt person of my ummah is the one who will come on the day of judgment with a dastan and legacy of ibadat, but he had eaten the haq of others, he had lied to others, he had deceived others. What is the currency there? What is the currency there? He'll have to pay it back. But there he can't pay back by getting some lawyer or getting a good advocate to buy him out of trouble or by paying some bribe. There all that won't work. What is the currency there? That the currency there is hasanat. Is his salah? Is his tahajjud? Is his nawafil? Is his sadaqah? Is his khairah? This is the currency. فَيُعْتَى هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِ The plaintiffs will have lined up. He'll be Allah will start paying back. His good deeds given to that one, then that one, then that one, then that one, then that one, till eventually all the good deeds will get finished. As the Shaykh, Maulana Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali, in his kitab, he has mentioned to pay back one penny, to pay back one penny of haram, two danik, equivalent to one penny, to pay back one penny on that day, you will have to pay with 700 accepted salah. 700 accepted salah is the currency for two danik. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi said, to return and pay back one dirham of my brother which I doubtfully took from him is more preferred to me than spending 600,000 dirhams in charity. To pay back one dirham of doubtful earning that I took from someone is more preferred to me than spending 600,000 dirhams in charity. Get our perspective right. Get our thinking right. Man kana indahu shayun. Man kana indahu madlamatun. فَلْيَتَحَلَّلْهُ مِنْهُ الْيَوْمِ قَبْلَ أَلَّا يَكُونَ دِرْهَمْ وَلَا دِينَارِ مَنْ كَانَ عِنْدَ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ فَلْيَرُدَّهُ لَا تَقُلْ فُضُوحُ الدُّنْيَا أَلَا إِنَّ فُضُوحَ الدُّنْيَا أَيْسَرْ مِنْ فُضُوحِ الْآخِرَةِ Two hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The crux of it, what did my Nabi say? He said, if you made zulm of someone, if you did someone down, make it halal today. Make it halal today. Before a day will come when there will be no dirham and dinar. When the currency of this world will not count, make it halal today. Before that day. The other hadith, Nabi Islam said, Man kana indahu shayun. If you took someone's haq, if you did someone down, if you owe someone something, make an attempt to sort it out now. If you blaspheme someone, if you slandered someone, if you besmirch the name of someone, make it halal today. Restore the wrong. Don't say, لا تقل فضوح الدنيا. لا تقل فضوح الدنيا. Don't say that the opinion of people, what the people will say if I admit my wrong. What is going to be the reaction of that person if I humble and lower myself? He said, don't let this dissuade you. Don't let this dissuade you from addressing that wrong. Why? Inna fuduha dunya. Inna fuduha dunya. Aysar min fuduhil akhira. The disgrace and embarrassment of this world is insignificant when compared to the problems of akhirat. The disgrace and embarrassment of this world is insignificant when compared to the problems of akhirat. This pious, dindar person whose dealings was incorrect, each plaintiff will be paid and then paid and then paid till eventually all his good deeds will be finished. All his good deeds will be finished. Then what will happen? Their gunas and their sins will be piled up upon this person. His nights were in tahajjud, his days were in fasting, his days was in the masjid, his days was in ibadat, but his dealings were incorrect. His dealings were incorrect. Their gunas and sins will be placed upon him till eventually, Adhan Allahu minha, till eventually Allah protect us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Turiha fin nar, this person will be taken and thrown into Jahannam. And thrown into Jahannam. And thrown into Jahannam. He said, this is the bankrupt person of my ummah. On the one hand, he said, be truthful. Be amanadar. Allah will raise you with the anbiya. Allah will raise you with the siddiqeen. Allah will raise you with the shuhada. On the other hand, if you are not careful, if you will not adopt these qualities in your earning, then Allah protect us. What did my Nabi say? You will be the bankrupt and the disgraced person of this ummah. Allah give us tawfiq, my respected brothers. We have an example. We have a key to Jannat. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah said, I made ihsan upon you when I gave you the beautiful and perfect example of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like we are Muhammadis in the masjid, let us become Muhammadis in the marketplace. Let us become Muhammadis with our wives and our children. Let us become Muhammadis with our parents. Wallah, the ranks of Jannat are limitless if we will incorporate these in our lives. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومطاعنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا برحمتك واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي بالحق ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت. تباركت ربنا وتعالى نستغفرك اللهم من جميع الذنوب والخطايا ونتوب إليك. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. اللهم متعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا، واجعله الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا، ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا غاية رغبتنا، ولا إلى النار مصيرنا، واجعل الجنة هي دارنا، ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر لأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم تجاوز عن سيئات أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم اهد أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم اهد الإنس والجان، اللهم افتح أبواب الهداية، اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين المظلومين في كل مكان، اللهم انصرهم في سوريا وفي فلسطين وفي كشمير وفي بورما وفي غيرها يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصرهم واضبط على قلوبهم وثبت أقدامهم وعجل بنصرهم يا قوي يا عزيز. اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماع مرحوما، واجعل تفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما، ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما، برحمتك ومنك وفضلك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومطاعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. والحمد.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.